In this blessed study of Bhagavad Gita, we saw that how the Lord Krishna diagnoses Arjuna's problem, finds out the cause, and then gives the right remedy. Diagnosis is important. The cause is to be understood properly. The symptoms are not always the cause. Somebody was telling me this morning that that person had a lot of pain in the knee and so went to the orthopedic surgeon, and after examination the doctor told him that, look, although you have pain in the knee, the problem is not in the knee, it is in the hip joint. So the hip joint had to be replaced to remove the pain in the knee, and it was removed. The pain was gone, because although the cause appeared to be in the knee, the remedy was it was not really in the knee, it was somewhere else. One has to therefore properly go and find out what is the cause of our problem. Our behavior is seen as having many problems. We feel depressed, we feel lost, we feel without any purpose in life. We find it difficult at many times to decide which of the two open paths that I see, which side of the fork should I take. It is all these ideas, these things come to us that what should I do? But to take a decision, we must understand life at a deeper level. And so, Arjuna is having these behavioral problems like us, feeling tremendous pain and suffering, and so has approached the teacher Krishna. And Krishna sees that although the problem is on the surface, the cause is deeper, and the behavior is prompted by the underlying awareness. The underlying awareness being false or wrong, the behavior also automatically becomes wrong. So the correction is to be applied not only to the behavior, but it is to be applied deeper in the awareness. Like had that doctor been just applying some ointment to the knee, the problem in the knee wouldn't have been solved, because the cause was elsewhere. And thus, when the cause was set right, the external symptom of pain that was also gone. So what we need to fix is our mistaken perception, the perception that I and the world are real as they appear. That is the mistaken perception. And this correction has two aspects, theoretically understanding the truth and then practically applying it in life. Sri Krishna told Arjuna that yes, this theory that you are really the consciousness that is immortal, the whole existence is nothing but the self, and so you don't have to think that I and the world are kind of permanent divisions. That division is fictitious, and so have this holistic clear vision. And how to get this vision now? And just by dreaming about it, it won't come. One has to apply the practical remedy, and that is called yoga. And that requires determination. Today is a Good Friday, the day it is said that Jesus was crucified. And he had told that the old man must die. This crucifixion, whether it actually happened historically, is neither important nor necessary to accept. It is the main important thing is that our wrong perception has to be crucified. That is where the new life begins. The new life lies in walking in this light of knowledge. It is taking the right course, shunning the life of bhoga and taking up the life of yoga, as they say. That is yoga. The yoga is now orienting the life consciously in a proper direction. That is a big shift. That is why it is said that this old man must die. The man of bhoga has to be killed, has to be crucified, and then the yoga man will be reborn, will be resurrected. This resurrection is important in that sense that we have to live the life of the practicalization of this theoretical understanding that the self is all-pervading. The one existence pervades everywhere, and this understanding will become our experience when we walk on this path of yoga. And it is not difficult. This is Sri Krishna Bhagwan told that it is not difficult, but determination is required. There is, if there is no determination, then we will not follow this path. Today we may follow, tomorrow we may think it is no good, no use following this path, let me go to something else. This will not make us reach the goal. So he said that it is one has to follow it with one-pointed attention. That is yoga. That all the faculties have to focus on that goal. When we have a goal in mind, then all actions just are veering around that goal. Constantly that thing is bearing on our mind. It is, suppose one of you, if you have some nagging problem bothering your mind, how to solve that problem, that is a terrible difficulty, how to get around it, then wherever you go, you keep on thinking about that problem and how to solve it. You may be coming to Vedanta Society, but still in the mind you will be thinking about that problem. Whatever the Swami says in discourse, you will be thinking about only that thing, that how to tackle that. So, not that you don't do other things. You will be eating, you will be going to Vedanta, you will be going to movie, you will go do all other things that you are doing. But all will be veering around this one idea, that how to tackle this particular nagging problem. So, this is the fundamental nagging problem of our life, that how to live life in the light of knowledge. And so this has to become the one-pointed focus of life. This has to become the focus of life. And one has to doggedly, determinedly, without relenting to or any other temptations, has to follow this path. To the extent that we are able to do it, we get the success in our attempt. We are sure to succeed. It is, this has to be remembered, that not that only somebody may get success, I probably do not fall in that category. Everybody is sure to succeed because this is our intrinsic nature. In all other attempts in life to get happiness, we are sure to fail. Because happiness is not there outside anywhere, how are you going to succeed in getting it? But in this attempt, you will surely succeed because you are trying to find it where it is. So where it is, if you try to see in that place, in that proper place, then you will find the thing. If you look for it where it is not, no chance to find it at all. So this is the yoga, and this yoga of action that Sri Krishna was telling, that you have to do your actions. Your duties are to be performed, but the orientation has to be changed. When you are going in a wrong direction, you don't have to change the car, you don't have to change the work. What you need is turn the car in the right direction. Not that, I am going in the wrong direction, let me buy a new car. That is not going to solve the problem. The same car will do, the same whatever work you are doing, that will do, only it has to be done with the right attitude. And that right attitude was spelt in that beautiful verse, very oft quoted verse 47th in the second chapter, to work alone you have the right. Karmanye vadhikaraste. And we saw that it has four segments. You have the right to work alone, not to the results thereof. So this is something that we have to imprint on our minds, not to the results thereof. And thus, what will happen? That first chain will be cut, so to say, when we do not expect any results, and we will not get bound. See, expecting results is not the cause of what we get. Many will answer that, ask this question, that, well, if I do not expect my remuneration, why should I go to work? And if I don't expect it, how shall I get it? Your getting remuneration depends on the work that you do, not what you expect. Otherwise, everybody will start expecting a million. Does it mean that they are going to get a million? It is what work they do, accordingly they get. It has nothing to do with what they expect. So expectation is one thing, and what you do is another thing. What you get depends on what you do. So learning to work without expecting the results. Results will come, whatever they come. You do your part. Your jurisdiction is to work, not to expect the results. If you expect the results, what happens? Then the work binds you. So don't become the cause of bondage. That is the third statement here. And the fourth statement, which is very important, don't get attached to inaction. It is that appears to be very safe way, that let me not act at all. But then there is no progress either. Like they say, the safest way not to get driving tickets is not to drive. So that is obviously the safest way to yes, but then how will you work? So you have to go to places. So similarly, I will not do anything, I will just sit in my room. Yes, that person probably will not, at least in the external behavior, will not be seen committing any sin. Sure, there will be no sin that this person will commit. He will not commit robbery, he will not do anything bad in the society. And to all appearance, he would have led a life kind of pure life, because didn't do anything. And so that kind of life is not meant here. The life It has to be a dynamic life. Life that is to be led in the light of knowledge. It is not the life of just being idle. That is, one has to take care of that. That life of idleness is to be shunned at all cost. Idle, indolent, lazy life is to be shunned. Now you will see more definitions of yoga. More definitions means just this idea of yoga being elaborated more and more, that's all. Next verse is another idea about yoga. They are all, the ideas do not mean that different yogas are told, but the different aspects are told about this yoga. Like you can tell the different aspects of an apple, the color, the apple looks like this, the taste, it tastes like this, then it weighs like this. The shape may be another aspect, the price may be another aspect. So it is not being told about different things. The same apple has so many descriptions. So this yoga has various descriptions. So now in this next verse, Lord tells, Yogastha Kuru Karmani Sangam Tyaktva Dhananjaya Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. Established in yoga, O Dhananjaya, perform actions, giving up attachment and unconcerned as to success or failure. This equanimity is called yoga. Equanimity is yoga. That is the important thing here. So, yogastha kuru karmani. Be established in yoga. That is, the action is to be performed with the end of doing this practice of yoga. Practicing yoga doesn't mean you have to do something separate, something different. But whatever you do is to be done with a different attitude. The attitude is this yoga attitude. The bhoga attitude, that is the attitude of enjoyment. Whereas this yoga attitude is the attitude of acquiring knowledge, the ultimate knowledge, that is yoga. So, yogastha, be established in this attitude that the work has this purpose. I again refer to Swami Vivekananda's beautiful book, Karma Yoga. The first chapter of this is titled as Work. In its connection, in its effect on character. In its effect on character. Not on its effect on character, but work in its effect on character. Or the idea is that work has the two aspects. One is the external effect. That is, you did some work and there is an effect outside. For example, you are digging a well and you started digging it. And maybe after a while, you struck water, the well came up. That is the external effect of it. But while you were doing the work was molding you too. You were having an effect on you because of the work. The work was providing you training. And this work, as you were doing it, it was training you. And this effect of work inside, the effect of work on the worker, is the most important thing in Karma Yoga. The external effect will be different what work you do, but internal effect will depend on the attitude. With what attitude that work is being done. And when that attitude is the attitude of yoga, then It will be yoga. Then you may be a student studying in school. You may be a teacher teaching somewhere. You may be a clerk in a bank. You may be a farmer. You may be some mechanic. Whatever work you may be doing, anywhere, each of these works has this internal, this message that forms the character, that do that work as yoga. Then work becomes worship. Work becoming worship is possible only with this. Not that just doing lot of work is karma yoga. Many times we hear this word, especially in India, somebody who has done lot of work is called karma yogi. Karma yogi doesn't mean that the person does lot of work. It is not a quantitative thing. Somebody is doing very little work, somebody is doing some big work. Quantity doesn't make it yoga. It is the attitude that makes it yoga. Somebody doing lot of work or big work has nothing to do about making it yoga. It is the attitude with which it is done. Some works will not be seen by the world at all. And yet that can be a big karma yoga. In that book, Swami Vivekananda gives this example that somebody may just think of some noble thoughts towards the world. But we'll just stay in the cave, all life will not probably come out, we'll die there. And yet, that person can be a karma yogi. It is seen that many great people doing most ordinary works were practicing karma yoga. When you have this yoga attitude, every minute work will be done with that attitude alone. There is an incident in the life of Raman Maharshi, very illustrative incident, that he was making those leaf plates. In India, there are people many times eat on leaf plates. Some particular big leaves are collected and then with small those stems, they are just stitched together. And then it becomes a leaf plate and we take food on that. It is a very common practice, I think, even now too. And he was making those leaf plates for there were many people and he had to make arrangements to feed them. So he was making those leaf plates and was doing it carefully. So one of the devotees or some visitors asked him that why you are spending so much of attention on making these leaf plates? And because he said that this leaf plate, okay, what is the use? See, now people will eat on it and will be just thrown. Why should you be taking so much of pain to make this that leaf plate nice and perfect? And his reply was, it is not just one leaf plate. It is the whole question of whole life, that it is somebody is going to eat in that leaf plate. That person is being served through that. The Lord in that person is being served by this method. This is the method of worshipping God, making the leaf plate properly. So that is yoga, doing work, yogastha. No work is less important than any other work. Somebody may be a big king, fine. Somebody may be a scavenger, fine, excellent. Nobody is superior to anybody else in this matter. As far as yoga is concerned, everybody has the same possibilities open. That if you do your work nicely, you walk on that path. Your goal is to realize this truth. So which work I do is not at all important. Whatever work I do, that has to be done with this attitude. So you see, like our Swami Ranganathananda, his book on Bhagavad Gita is masterpiece. That three volume treatise, which I follow for my class, also this class as well. It is his life. If you see, whatever work was given to him, he tried to do it perfectly. When he came, normally his work was it was to clean the pots and pans and all after the food. And he was doing that perfectly. When he was given the work of doing some construction, he was paying full attention to that. When he was told to give talks, and that also he was paying full attention to. So, any work that is given to you, any work that comes to us, the works are not always matter of choice. And they come to you as matter of requirement. And those things when come to you, that is the way one can worship God. Take it up as the means of worship. So, and then that becomes yoga. So simple, is it not? Nobody should have any reason to complain that I cannot practice yoga because I am so busy. Your busyness, what lorry? Your busyness can become yoga. You will be busy with yoga. And lot of work, excellent, very good. You are doing lot of work. And let us do that work as yoga. It is whatever work one gets to do, there is no superiority or inferiority in this matter. Whether you are traveling in the first class of a plane or in the economy class, both land at the same spot, you see. It is both go to the same airport. They say of a story that one lady, she although had an economy ticket, was sitting in the first class and refused to move. Then the attendant tried to tell her, you can't sit here, this is first class, you have to go, your seat is there. She said, no, I'm not going to move. Then the pilot came and told, and the flight was set, they said, to some place, a place like, say, Montreal. And then she was told that, the first class doesn't go to Montreal. And she immediately moved and sat in the economy class. So, it is... we also have this funny idea. We laugh at that example. But our reaching the goal doesn't depend actually on which work we do. How we do it, that determines the success. It is which work is like which seat you take. How you do it is like which flight you take, you know. Whether you are taking the flight to your destination or somewhere else. That is important. That is the yoga. Take the flight of yoga to get to your destination. Now, which seat you sit in? Well, whatever seat, that is just a temporary matter. Don't think much about that. Wherever you get to sit, okay, fine. It is sit there and after a little while, you arrive at the destination. You don't change your this thing that, no, I want to go by first class. And if the flight to my destination, say Montreal, is not, there is no first class. Okay, then I won't go to Montreal. We don't say like that. Because which class you sit is of not much importance. Where you want to go, that is important. So, our different jobs are like different classes where we stay. Like if you get to do some work of, say, being President of United States, elections are coming up, so if you get to be to be the President of United States, you have to do some job. If you are applying for some other job, and say repairing the computers, well, you get to do that job. But if both of them do their job with the attitude of worship, then both of us, them are sure to reach the same goal. If not, then it is not yogastha work. If the attitude is not right, then again, what job you do doesn't matter again, because suffering is the end result. Only where you suffer matter is the matter, small matter of difference. But suffering in this world is inevitable. No escape from it, friends. Whether you become President of United States, no escape from suffering. You see that all the time. It is, or even if you are, say, doing a scavenger's job, no escape from suffering. But if the attitude is of yoga, then again, whatever job you are doing, there is escape from suffering. So this is yoga. And one characteristic of it is samatva, the sameness about whether you get success or failure in your work. It is, don't think about whether I will succeed in this work or not. Just do your work. Whether you succeed or not doesn't matter. If you succeed, okay. If you don't succeed, still you have managed to learn something. That in itself is a success. So, it is the success is not to be seen from that point of view at all. Don't get bothered about that, whether I will succeed or I will not succeed. You do your work. Pay attention to that. Success or failure, whatever it comes, you know, it doesn't depend on how much you think about success and about failure. It comes according to your efforts, how you handle the means. So pay attention to the means. Success, failure, they are not to be thought about. Whether success comes, okay. Failure comes, okay. Don't get disturbed by success or failure. Tell yourself that success and failures both are required in life. Sometimes success will come and sometimes failure will come. That is not the point. It is the like when you are going traveling, sometimes the road will be just flat, sometimes it will be up, sometimes it will be down. All that is matter of journey. It is, you don't have to worry about those things. You keep on your efforts without thinking of success and failure. See what a great idea this is. And this is how we have to lead our life, everyday life. We pay too much attention to whether success or failure, and then emotional imbalances come because of that. Many psychological problems, they originate because a lot of importance is attached to these relative successes and failures. And it is always the cause of depression. Even if one attains success, then still there is another different success has to be attained. There is comparison always. that yes, I attend something, but my neighbor has attained something more. My car is nice, no doubt, but my neighbor has bought a better car now. So it is again a source of suffering. So it is, therefore, success, failure, whatever comes, take it with equanimity. A yogi is never too elated and never too depressed. Depressions and elations are not in the life of a yogi. A yogi steers clear of these two, elations and depressions. That person is always happy. If elation comes, okay. Depression comes, okay. And this is attained by many people. I met a gentleman. It is really very, it was a meeting very inspiring for me. I remember that incident. He was having a cataract operation, and he had come second time for that very operation, that surgery. The doctor had goofed, and so he had called again for that work. And he said that it was goofed again second time, and again he had come for that. Now, and every time he had to pay, he had to suffer, and his business was also, he was losing money because of that too. So, I said, well, the doctor, what happened? That how? He didn't blame the doctor at all. No blame game. That he said, look, he is my friend. I know him. And he does the surgeries of so many people. I came there as attendant to one of our Swamis. He was having a different glaucoma surgery there. So I was sitting with him and was talking to this guy. So he said that, look, you came. I said, yes, he had done a wonderful job when this Swami came here last time. And yes, he said, he's so reputed and does such wonderful things to other patients. So it is my lot, that's all. It is my lot. And then humorously he said that maybe in my last birth I had taken lot of money from this doctor in his last birth and didn't return. So now I have to pay for that, it seems. It is. And this, that he was very smilingly enduring all these things without much botheration. Now, what will you do if the blood starts boiling? It, first of all, that is the surest way that you can spoil the surgery. What is this? This is all injustice. Okay, then what? Try. What will happen? It will not bring peace to anybody. It is not going to solve this problem. Only it will cause more pain, that's all. So he was thinking what to do. He certainly did not do it intentionally, and nor that there was anything that has on record gone wrong. It was all something happened, something didn't click, and that is always a chance. It happened to me, what to do now? So it is my lot. And he was smiling about that. Now that is the idea yoga. That not getting swayed by successes or failures. Life has all these, the share. Swami Vivekananda, again in that very book, points out that if you look at your life, you will see that successes and failures both have played an important role in building your character. Not only that, if you critically analyze, you will see failures have played a better role or a more important role in molding your character. So failures has its importance, its own charm. So don't worry about whether you get success or failure. both come, but you keep on doing work as best as possible. This should not be taken into this in a negative way that, so I need not care about how I work. Maybe success comes, I just do and finish. No, that is not, that callous attitude is not advocated at all. It is to be, work is to be done with full attention, with utmost sincerity, with full commitment. That has to be there. There is no compromise on that. And yet, this success and failure, they should not make us elate or depressed. Yes, success came. Okay, what is there? Failure came. Well, what is there? Success has come. Failures come. Let them come. So this sameness, this equanimity is the sign of a yogi. You can see this in the life of Jesus when he was being cheered by the crowds. He was same. After just a while, the crowd started denouncing him, crucify him. He was still the same. No change. You see, that is where the learning has to come. That yes, see Buddha, great life to learn from. Not just to be kept in the altar and offered flower and scented water, and that is one kind of worship. But then learning from that life, somebody was abusing Buddha, throwing all sorts of expletives. And he was just listening to them without being perturbed. And then when that fellow stopped, said, look, if somebody comes and brings some gifts to me, and what happens if I don't take them? Well, then that remains with the person who brought them. Okay, so I do not take the gift that of all these expletives that you were giving. I just don't take that gift. So they remain now with the one who was going to give. So he was not perturbed by all those things. It is a very nice lesson. I had seen many persons. A lot of people I saw that many shocking incidents took place in their lives, but yet they retained their equanimity, refused to get swayed by these currents, just led their life with steadfast devotion and focus on this ideal. So this is yoga, practicing yoga. It is, and if you do not do, if you do only the your work, big or small, in the ordinary way, then Lord says in this next verse, very beautifully presented, that you miss the great potential in that work. It is like somebody was a little cuckoo and so brought banana and then peeled it and threw the meat into the garbage and started eating the skin. So when we do not practice yoga, we are doing exactly like that. The work is the skin and banana. Now, if you are not, when we do work for bhoga, the attention to enjoyment, then we are eating the skin and it doesn't taste that good as banana tastes. We throw the banana and start chewing the skin. This is what the ordinary people running after enjoyments do. This is, now he points out, दूरेण हि अवरम कर्म बुद्धि योगा धनंजय बुद्धौ शरणमन्विच्छ कृपणा फलहेतवः. It is a very strongly worded message. Far inferior is work prompted by desire to work done through wisdom. O Dhananjaya, take refuge in wisdom. Those who are impelled by results are miserable. Now this miserable is not the complete, I don't say it's wrong translation, but the word Krupana has a much deeper connotation than this word just miserable. It is, let us see how this inferior, if you are doing the work with this attitude of desire and enjoyment, then work is very inferior. You may be doing your work, a very big work, and maybe people are lauding you, but if it is done through desire, then what is happening? Then you are throwing the banana and eating the skin. And what is now, it is like that, that if we are working with this attitude of desire, I want this in life and that in life, and this is mine, this enjoyment I must get, then what happens? Only you are biting the skin, throwing the banana. It is, you are eating only the inferior part. Superior part is being thrown. So, and if you are, Buddhi Yoga is that. Buddhi Yoga means connecting with the knowledge. When you are working as yoga, then you are connected with the wisdom, connected with the knowledge, and thus your work then is the work of knowledge. Then you are taking this right part of it, throwing the that which is trash is thrown, and that which is to be taken, that is taken. It is because otherwise what happens is the life is just full of these reactions of eating only the skin. So Sri Krishna points out that those who are using their actions, there is a great potential. Each action can propel you towards the goal of life. But if you do not use that potential, then you are a krupanaha. Now it is, they are miserly people. They are miserly. They do not, who is miserly? The one who doesn't have money is not miserly. The one who does not make use of his money, that is called a miserly krupana person. Krupana means is petty minded and doesn't make proper use of the money. So the work is there, you have the means, work, but do not make good use of it. It has the potential to liberate you. That work that we do can Triveni liberate us, is it not? Yes, the work that we do can liberate us. But if we do not use this potential, then well, we are to be pitied upon that the person has. There are in scriptures lot of such examples are given that you have the nice stream of wonderful good water flowing right near you and you are dying of thirst. It is like that. It is work we have. It is to be treated in this manner as yoga. When we treat work as yoga, then we are using the work properly. This is the great message. Otherwise, krupanaha phalahetavaha. We have to be aware of this fact. Let us do our work in this spirit. And each of us has this, nobody can complain, you know, that I cannot do this because my work doesn't allow me to take that attitude. And that is not at all true. Each work has the same possibility. In that book, Swami Vivekananda's book, Karma Yoga, The second chapter is also very beautiful. The title is, Each is Great in His Own Place, His or Her Own Place. Whatever work we are doing, each of them, every work has the same potential. Let us use that potential and we become yogis. Is it not simple, Vishwanath? Let us practice yoga and we will continue. Then he will give another definition of yoga. It is the skill in the work. We shall try to study it and on next Friday. Any questions? Let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarai Yasvayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvinesrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrah Tasya Namaniyani Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.